Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 7, the final episode of E4 2016, and a successful E4 I think we've had.
We did, but you know what? You leave my house for one show, and we start having issues. We are 40 minutes late because I couldn't get into my studio space.
I'm glad we didn't make this one a live show.
Yeah, me too. How stupid is that?
You know, things happen.
Well, you know, I honestly thought that my little brother had locked me out of the office space. I honestly thought he changed the locks, but I think we got something else going on. But I'm here now. This is why we have backups.
That's right.
This is why we have backups.
We had a plan.
So I'm back at my house with my stuff, and here we are for the final show of E4. And you're right. It has been a fabulous E3. I had a lot of fun. I know you did too. And I'm depressed.
Yeah, it's that thing where it's the happiest time of year until it's over, and then it's ridiculously sad because it's over, and then we miss it terribly.
Yes,
all I've wanted to do the past like 3 or 4 days since I've gotten home is play video games. Like I'm so jacked on video games right now. Like that's all I want to do.
Yeah, that's like I got to. You'll get a kick out of this because we got done on Thursday, and the last 3 days, Evie has had to send me a message and say, are you working or are you taking off? Because after you left, I sent her a message and said, I don't want to do anything. I'm not doing anything until Monday. And she's taking that fairly seriously. We got on the website yesterday and installed some funky new plugins. But other than that, I'm the same way. All I've wanted to do was sit around and play video games and watch TV. I have been watching a little bit of TV, but yeah, I'm the exact same way. I would like to, and I told you this when you got back to your house. I said you got back safely and. And you said yes, and I said I could use several more weeks like that.
Right.
So
yeah, it's the truth. We had a good time, and we love E3. It's the best time of year, and we're gonna revel in it for as long as we can, and enjoy games from E3, and use that as an excuse to do more gaming stuff.
Absolutely,
which is great. So the plan for this show is really kind of our wrap up show. So it's overall kind of thoughts and impressions from E3, and so we'll do kind of our best of it and biggest surprise, biggest disappointment stuff, all of that kind of thing in this show. And we'll also do it. I'm excited about this. We chatted about this just a little bit right before we got started. We're going to do our production competition. We got all of our entries for our production competition.
Yes.
So we've got a winner that we're ready to announce and some games to give away. And so we'll talk about all of that as we go along as well. So, yeah, where should we start?
You know what? I don't even really care. We can start anywhere you want to start. I do think we need to talk about possible game of the show because we have a poll over on the website.
The Gaming Uncensored poll is back.
Yeah, we've got the Gaming Uncensored poll back.
Yeah, so go by GamingUncensored.com. Obviously, there's lots of great stuff over there. But now you can also hit the poll question. Right now, the question at GamingUncensored.com is, what was your show of E3? Of which I have 9 options, which seems fairly encompassing, but I know there's going to be people who disagree with any of those, and so there's also a something else option. So, but yeah, I'm curious to what other people thought. You're going to hear what we think during this show, and you've already heard a lot about what we think. But
does it give you the option if you choose the other? Does it give you the option to write it in?
No.
I don't. Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So anyway, go by there and check that out, which is cool. We also have to say huge love to our Patreon sponsors at this point, of which we have 2 more since last we did a show. And so we have our boy Cabbage, who was the first. And then we also have Jose. And now we have Narc, who has been great, obviously. And the reason that anybody is getting a free game today is because of Narc. And then also our boy Duff from Hawaii, which is awesome. And so
that's awesome.
We love all of you guys. Your names are officially over there on the sidebar, right under the poll on the website now. And so that's there. And we'll give you much love and other things.
And there's a brand new post on the Patreon, if you haven't been over there, just telling people a little bit about what we do. You and I need to do a quick little piece while we're sitting here, just to kind of give people an intro. But I put the last E4 show up there to give people a pretty good sample of what we do.
So. Yeah, there is also, and I want to make sure for Patreon guys who are supporters, there is also the first bit of early content available. And so hopefully you see that, a piece I wrote about big surprises from E3, my personal biggest surprises. And so it's the longest piece I think I've written for the website yet. I just think of surprises, and I kept up coming up with a new one and a new one. And so hopefully you got the link to that. If not, let me know and we'll figure out why. That will be up on the website here within the next week for everybody else. But if you would like to get stuff early and would love to support us, go by the Patreon page to do that, which you can access from GamingAncestor.com.
I will tell you this. I've kind of looked around the Patreon, been playing around with it a little bit. That thing is super easy to use. So I don't think it's going to be hard getting new content out to there. I'm really shocked at how easy it is to send stuff out and put it up. So I'm really happy about the Patreon.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as I was saying, since we have the poll, I think you and I might disagree slightly right. on Game of the Show.
Because I think we're the only two that's voted on the poll yet, because we haven't told anybody about it. So, yeah, we know where each other landed, which is kind of fun, and we landed on different games, which is also fun.
And I have some logic on that, and I'm interested to hear your logic.
Sure.
I chose Battlefield 1. And which is crazy because I don't do multiplayer. It's not really my thing. But when we were watching it, whatever day that was, that they had their thing, and they had the hour long play session with the 64 people, it was just amazing to watch.
Yeah,
like that's something we do share play all the time. That's something that I would log onto Twitch to watch. And I may suck at it. I may be really bad at it. But I may pick up Battlefield 1 on the PC just to, like, have it and jump in and get fragged by a bunch of people. Because it looked really, really cool. And that it was, for me, it was between... That there were two other games. There was that. There was Dishonored 2, and there was Zelda. I think those for us comprised the three games that we thought would make Game of the Show, and I had to choose that because I mean I was totally surprised by it.
Yeah, and I think that's perfectly fair. I don't have anything to argue about with. On your point, and I actually picked Zelda as Game of the Show, which I said in an earlier podcast that I didn't think we could do, and so I've kind of gone back on what I said earlier, but some of that is because what I said in the earlier podcast was about that I didn't feel like I saw enough content from Zelda, that it was the world and it was open and everything else. But then when I started watching more videos, I got more of what I wanted. I got a little bit more of the lore, and I got a little bit more of the Zelda kind of stuff, and seeing that this world is actually inhabited, and it's not just big world and enemies everywhere, but there's something behind it. I even saw a post about like somebody has like cracked the in-game language to find all these little like symbols that mean certain things that spell out words that are relevant to the world. It's nothing huge, you know, but just the thought that goes into that, that they've created this kind of alphabet in the game that you can go through and actually, like, if you're nerdy enough to do it, and so God bless whoever was nerdy enough to do it, but if you're nerdy enough to do it, you can go and figure out what, like, all of these different symbols and stuff mean, and that's awesome. I think that's super cool, and to see, ultimately, that level of detail, which I didn't doubt was going to be there. I knew it was going to be big and huge and also story rich and everything else, because I believe in Zelda. But to see it, to see a little bit more of even just a taste of that, pushed me over the edge with it. And I wish I knew what console I was going to play it on, but I'm going to play it.
Did you really just say a taste of that? I'm going to ban that phrase from the show. After E3 and everybody giving us a taste of VR,
right? Which is another taste. Big topic we need to talk about.
I've had about enough of that phrase. Here's what I will say about the videos. I haven't gone out and looked. I need to, but I will say this, the reason that I didn't give it Game of the Show, because I knew that some of that stuff was out there, and that after E3 some of that stuff would leak. But for me, Game of the Show needs to be based off of what they showed at E3. Like, all of that stuff that you're talking about, we should have seen on that day when we logged into the Treehouse Live, and they lied to us and said the vast majority of this thing's going to be Zelda, and the vast majority of it ended up being Pokemon.
Well, the vast majority of it ended up being Zelda. It just took them an hour to get there, but they spent like the next 4 hours talking about Zelda.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think that's an arbitrary way to decide that. That seems a little ridiculous. But I get what you're saying. Nintendo sucked at showing it off. What they did well is they had probably the best booth at the whole thing. I saw another video online of like the security camera whenever the Zelda booth was opening, and seeing the stampede of people, literal stampede of people pushing and shoving and running and everything to get to the Nintendo booth to be the first in line to play the new Zelda game. It was just insane. You know, like it's by far, I think, the most hype thing that came out of E3 this year, for better or for worse, because, again, I can't tell you what console I'm playing it on, but I know I'm playing it. Like, I will buy a console for that. I will buy a Wii U for that game.
Absolutely.
I will buy NX for that game.
No, you're going to buy an NX. You're not going to buy a Wii
Maybe.
U for that.
I don't know. I still don't know what the stupid thing is coming out on. You know, like, I don't know what the NX is. I'm not saying I'm buying an NX until I know what the thing is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I might rather play it on the Wii U if the NX is something that I think is really dumb. But either way, I'm buying a console to play that game on. You know, like, at this point, Nintendo, I'm curious about your hardware. I don't care a lot about your hardware, but I care a lot about this one piece of software you have. And so, like, if they would have done this 2 years ago with the Wii U, I'd have a Wii U in my house right now. You know, like, Nintendo's strategy about everything just blows my mind. I don't understand what they're doing. But all that being said, they still sold me on what I think is a spectacular looking game.
It's going to be spectacular. And I love the way that they went about it as far as game design goes. I like that. They talked a lot in the Nintendo Treehouse about breaking convention, and it really does. Like, this is not what you're used to seeing in a Zelda game.
Yeah, not even a little bit.
No, and it's gonna be amazing to play, because you're doing stuff that you never ever would have thought would be something that you would do in Zelda.
Yeah, setting the entire environment on fire.
Yeah.
Like, that is a very un-Zelda thing.
It's a very un-Zelda thing, and having to eat, like, real food.
Right, not picking up hearts.
It's a very un-Zelda thing.
One of the things we saw was some guy found a rupee, like, randomly.
Right.
And, like, Nintendo had said that there might not be rupees in the game even, which, again, it's just mind-boggling. Like, of course there's rupees in Zelda. But, like, the guy found a rupee, and like a Nintendo rep came over and was like, oh, you weren't supposed to find that, you know? Like, that it was like, oh crap, somebody's onto our secret. Like, they're so trying to change everything about Zelda that even the most kind of sacred conventions of Zelda, their teasing may not be a part of it, even though it appears that they are, but they're wanting to really deconstruct your idea of what a Zelda game is while still making it beautiful in Zelda and everything else. And so,
right.
Yeah, I don't think Battlefield 1's a bad decision at all. I think it looks phenomenal. I'm excited to play it. I will say that the next piece that I'll be putting up on the website, which will be in just a couple of days because I've just had a lot to write about after E3, is my personal top five. And shocking, Battlefield 1 didn't make my personal top five of the show. Now, that's
really
if I was saying objectively, or if we were coming up with a game together or a list together for Gaming Uncensored, I think Battlefield 1 deserves that list. But for me, like, there's that, like, this isn't a knock on Battlefield 1 at all, because I think it looks phenomenal and I'm pumped to play it. It's a testament to how many ridiculously good games there were at E3 this year.
And you know what? Most of them came from Sony.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of them. I have my list. I'm not going to give away my list, so there's a little tease why you got to go read the thing. But on my list, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4. No, three of them will be playable on the PS4. One of them is Zelda, obviously, if that's my favorite game. It made my top five, number one in my top five. Yeah, one of them's an Xbox exclusive, though, which is a little surprising.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a good teaser for you.
See, now I got to go read the thing.
Exactly.
I know what the Xbox game is, because I know you.
Right, you do, but so, don't ruin
it. Yeah, yeah.
But hey, Jamie, go contribute to the Patreon, and then you can read it early.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm considering it. I might go over there just so I have, like, a little, like, money laundering, you know, like, that I could just, like, subtly flush some of my own money back to myself and be like, oh yeah, I think it's a good idea.
You know, your wife would totally catch you.
I know.
You.
That's the thing. It's like, I have somebody I'm responsible to for my money. You don't. So you don't have to launder your money. I have to figure out ways to be tricky about it.
Well, no, I can totally come up with a reason to launder my money. I just never thought of using Patreon to do it.
I think it's brilliant. I love the idea.
That's pretty freaking hilarious.
I guarantee you that there's somebody doing that.
Because you just said that on the air, they're probably going to shut us down.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I'm laundering money to myself, and it's going to be like $10 a month. I'm not giving us the big money. Like, that's ridiculous.
right.
But if you want to give us the big money, we'd be more than happy for you, too. So go check out the Patreon page.
Yes.
You get early access to all that stuff and everything else. And so that's our game of the shows, and I think that's totally viable. What other Dishonored 2 you mentioned, that's kind of a short list title on that. I'm trying to just think of other really big games from the show that we just need to mention in that kind of context. Of course, God of War was in there. That's a big deal. I think Days Gone deserves to be in that discussion because we saw so much gameplay for it. There's a lot of really good software from E3 this year. And that's ultimately, every year we say, give us software, give us software, give us software. E3 this year gave us software, you know? Like, I am pumped about software coming out of E3 this year. So that's a very good thing. So
I mean, there's a ton of stuff, and I purposely, like, did not go look this weekend so that I could go on Monday and just wade through all of the stuff that's come out.
Right.
Because that's, you know, if you're looking over the weekend, if you're looking Friday and Saturday, it's like a slow trickle.
Right.
It's like, okay, here's an extra video. Okay, here we go. So I'm gonna look around on Monday and see what I can find. But I'm like you. See, you're ahead of me on the extra content. I got a couple of videos to make.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gotten around to that. And I'm gonna. That's on my list this week to talk about some games from E3 that were really interesting. I also have a couple of handicap-related things based on games that we have played while we were here, and there was really only two of those.
Right.
And I'm not... See, I love... Because I want to talk to you about this, but I can't.
Right.
Because it's extra content for the Patreon.
We have to wait.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do that next week. I'm going to put it out on the Patreon next time we do a show. You and I are going to talk about it. Because that's something that we've never had to think about before.
Right.
It's like, okay, I had this idea for bonus content, and I really want to talk to Tommy about it, but I can't because it's bonus content. So that's going to be interesting for us. But, yeah, I have a couple of things about the games that we played over the week that are very interesting that I didn't think about until I actually picked them up for myself. And I wish you could see me trying to hold a PlayStation controller and making it work. It's not good.
Right.
Like, it's not good. There's a reason that I've been looking for a controller the last 10 years. Because I'm having issues, but I'll talk about that more in the bonus content coming up this week. And like you said, there's a ton of great stuff. Like, I'm going to have to go on the web and just refresh myself.
Right.
Because we saw so much stuff. Like, I'm trying to remember all of the unbelievable, crazy stuff. And I'm sure I'm missing something.
Yeah. No, that's precisely what I'm doing right now is just going back and looking through, kind of seeing if there's any news that we missed. Which I will say this about E3 this year, not news heavy.
No.
In the past, so the news that we got was really built around press conferences. And so maybe the biggest bit of news that we knew was coming, but it was still a big announcement, was the Xbox Project Scorpio and all of that, which still we have so little details about. We just know it exists.
Can we talk about we can talk about this because it doesn't have anything to do with bonus content, but can we talk about they made a big deal about that thing, and then 2 days after E3, I've actually been going to our site, GamingUncensored.com, for news. Because we have that nice little feed
over
handy. There.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
So if you want to get some news, you can go to our site, GamingUncensored.com, and get your gaming news. But a couple of days after the show was over, Sony was like, yeah, the Neo is going to be available in 2016.
Nice.
Did you see that?
I did not see that, no.
Okay, it will be available in 2016. I don't remember the exact date. If you want to pull it up on Google, that would be great. But after Microsoft did that whole thing and how it's going to be the most powerful console ever, Sony was like, all right, we got you. That's great. That's great. You guys can have a year and a half because we're releasing ours in 2016. And I got to think that people over at Microsoft are probably kicking themselves because can you imagine what Sony can do with a year and a half lead? On top of that, they now know what Microsoft has.
Right. Which is a big deal. That's huge. What I'm seeing right now is that it actually may not come out 2016, and so... Who knows at this point?
I will look and see and make sure I haven't imagined that.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is that I think there's just conflicting reports where one site saying it's coming this year, another site saying, that was misinterpreted or whatever. I don't know. It could come this year. It may not come this year. Whatever it is, you're absolutely right about that. One really critical component of Sony knows what Microsoft is doing. Like, Microsoft laid out what their hardware is. And now, I will say this. I think that inside the gaming bubble, you know, inside industry people, probably know the ins and outs of both of these consoles at this point. And so I would guess that people at Microsoft know what the plan at this point is. Now, this is where it gets interesting, is because these are always obviously changeable. But right now, I would guess that Microsoft knows what the plan is for the PlayStation Neo. And I would guess that Sony knew what the plan was for Project Scorpio long before it even leaked, because a lot of the details leaked before E3, but they knew it before E3. All that being said, there still is this kind of press thing, you know, like there's this kind of public expectation now that Microsoft has said something publicly and Sony hasn't, that Sony can use that time to whatever, and who knows is yeah. ultimately the story there. But it's going to be really interesting to see how both of these console makers approach this like half generation upgrade thing that they're both obviously doing, and one of them has publicly announced.
Somebody, send me an email and tell me if this is correct or not, because I saw a story also on GamingAnswers.com that Microsoft does the same thing that PlayStation Plus does as far as offering free games.
Yeah, yeah, I know they do that.
I sort of remember hearing that. I think
they announced it maybe last year at E3 that they were doing that or something.
Right.
But yes.
I think the difference in the two services, when I read that, the two games that they said were out, I didn't recognize. And it's kind of one of those deals with the PlayStation 4. If you have PlayStation Plus, one of the two or three titles you're going to get, you're going to know.
Right.
Like for example, this month is NBA 2K16 and Gone Home. Those are two big titles I think most people know. So
the Games with Gold, which is what they call their program for the Xbox Live, the Xbox One titles right now are Goat Simulator, which apparently
is
Goat Simulator is ridiculously fun, because I've had students talking about that for a very long time. And then The Crew, which is a big title game. It's been out for a while, but right. that's a big title, a big name racing game. And so, yeah, that.
Yeah, The Crew was the Fast and Furious type thing.
Yeah, that was cross country, and like right, I played that one, right. And it was fun. It was like I lost interest in it fairly quickly, which is unfortunate. But yeah, those aren't awful games. In fact, the ones for the Xbox 360 are phenomenal. The two games that are available for free right now on the Xbox 360 with the Games for Gold are Super Meat Boy, which is yeah. one of the most fun platformers and ridiculously difficult kind of platformers you'll play. And then right. XCOM Enemy Unknown.
Yeah, see, those two are great.
Now, they're old, but they're great. Very, right. very good titles. And so, yeah, good stuff there. I'm seeing maybe some older ones that I don't know if these were free ones. Now, I doubt it, because these are really big titles like Killer Instinct and Halo Reach. And Halo Reach, maybe. That's older at this point. Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I don't know if those are ones that have been in the past or whatever. But yeah, no, Microsoft does do a very similar thing at this point. And at least this month, it's not awful titles. I would take the PlayStation titles over the Xbox titles, but they're competitive. So.
Yes.
Good for them on that. So,
absolutely.
All that being said, I think the two other things we definitely need to hit on are our big surprises, because that's always one, so we can do that right now. And then I think, and I'll let you think about this for a little bit, we need to circle back around to VR and kind of what our final impressions are about VR from this year's E3, which obviously featured quite a bit of VR. So before we do that, let's talk about surprises, things we didn't see coming, or even kind of disappointments in here, I think would be fine, things we thought we were going to see and then were surprised that we didn't. I'll start again. There's an article that's coming up. If you want to get early access to it, go donate over on the Patreon page for that. I have a ton of them, and so I won't give them all away, but a couple that I'll mention. Seeing ReCore gameplay was a really big deal to me. I was surprised with how interested I was in that game after seeing it in two consecutive Microsoft press conferences and being disappointed with it. And not disappointed with it, but not really getting it.
You know what? Here's the thing. The reason you weren't into it is because they didn't really show you.
Right. No, it's completely Microsoft's fault.
Like, the reason that you got excited was because I know the exact second that I got excited was when the main character hopped on a rail and started rolling like Samus. I was right. That's it. Hello? That's it?
Yeah.
I must have that. That's the problem. Microsoft didn't show that.
Yeah, which is a shame because they could have won me over on that title during their press conference. Instead, I ended up being won over on that title during the stage demo stuff, which is fine. Like, I'm still won over on that title, and I want to play it. Now, I need more compelling reasons than just that for an Xbox One, but that's helping. You know, that's starting right. to make a good case, and so... That was one to me that I ended up walking away from the show going, yeah, I really want to play that, which after the Microsoft press conference, I did not anticipate.
Yeah, for me, that was a surprise, but I'm going to talk about two games for us that kind of made us look like fools. And I'm going to take one, and then I know you have another one.
Yep.
But I'm gonna talk about one that we may have to eat a lot of crow
yep.
on.
This also made my list.
Yes, because we're sitting here watching it, and we're like falling over each other because it looks so fantastic, trying to figure out what it is. And we get to the end of this like 5-minute demo thing, and it says Call of Duty. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I did not feel like a person who had done a podcast for 10 years and was supposed to know this crap.
Yeah.
Like, I'm supposed to know what's going on. And I'm sitting here with you in my room and we're literally like falling over each other. Like, we know we're going, what are we watching?
Yeah.
And it was Call of Duty. And
it was by far my favorite singular moment of us hanging out during the show, because you're absolutely right. We were just completely geeked out and like, this looks phenomenal. And then it pops up Call of Duty and we both just freeze. And we're like, seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, yeah.
Really? They just got us? Really?
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Like, I'm now super pumped about Call of Duty because that made me a believer. That looked really cool. That trailer that they released the same time that EA released the Battlefield 1 trailer did not make me a believer. I thought it looked kind of dumb. That made me a believer. Right. And I think they did that very intentionally. Like, the level of kind of trollery from Call of Duty, from Activision in the Sony press conference to show you what they knew for suckers like us was going to be really good looking and not necessarily something we immediately recognized as a game that has already been announced, and just to rope us in like fools, you know, because they totally did. Like, there's like,
and we were fools.
It came right after the VR thing, which was lying, like, because there's no indication at this point that any of that actually happens in VR, and so like it didn't transition like out of the VR showcase in a way that it made it very clear that what you were seeing wasn't in VR. So we started assuming that it was VR.
We thought it was, and I'm like, this is VR. Holy crap!
Right, and so that automatically like would have never made us think of Call of Duty because we're not expecting Call of Duty in VR, and it doesn't appear at this point that we're going to get Call of Duty in VR. But like, we were just in that mindset, and so it just suckered us in. And then it's like flying, and then you're like, oh yeah, that makes total sense in VR. And then it's like pop out of the spaceship in space, and it's 0G, like with this like grappling hook, and there's a gun battle, and you're like, well, this probably isn't VR, but it just looks phenomenal. You know, like, you start putting those pieces together, and then it just like blasting through the side of like this massive like spaceship, space station thing, and then breaching inside with zero gravity, and like, it just was really well presented. And then they tell you it's Call of Duty and you go, you got me. You know, like, you feel like you've been Rickrolled or something. Like, you feel like you're just like, you're dumb. Like, wow, they totally punked me there. And I'm super happy about it. Like, I have no problem admitting that I'm pumped about new of Call of Duty now, because that did look phenomenal.
It did, and I hate to say that because when the trailer came out, we both were like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, it was the same time that the Battlefield 1 trailer came out.
Yeah.
And everybody was on the internet saying, Battlefield 1 is awesome. Call of Duty, what are you doing?
Yeah. And we totally bought it. We were right there with them. We were like, oh, yeah, Call of Duty looks amazing. Or Battlefield looks amazing, and Call of Duty is being really dumb and trying to do something that they shouldn't. Then they punked us. And
yeah.
You know, now we think it's awesome.
It's like I said, it's one of those things that I'm glad that we saw it. I'm glad that it's there. And Bobby Kotick is probably feeling a lot better after E3 because there's probably was people on the floor playing it.
Yeah.
And so Activision probably looks really good at this point.
Yeah. And for a company that for the most part doesn't show up to E3 anymore. Like, their games have a presence if they're bigger titles, but like Activision really doesn't use E3 as an outlet at this point. And so that was a really good way for them to have a presence and make us look stupid. And yeah. So kudos to Activision and making us look dumb.
Absolutely.
So, another one of my big surprises was Resident Evil in VR. See,
you totally solved it. That's where I was going.
That
okay.
That makes sense. We were both there. So yeah. First of all, a new Resident Evil game is enough of a surprise in and of itself. It's not like we didn't know that a new Resident Evil game was coming. But if they just would have came out and showed off a new Resident Evil game and basically played through the demo that they played through, not saying it's in VR, I think we would have left going, ooh, new Resident Evil, that's awesome. But the fact that they said, and this is in VR, and the entire game will be playable in VR, this is not one of those gameplay experiences, one of those tastes of VR, as I know you love now. This is a full AAA title that's going to be fully playable, fully compatible in VR. And that blew my mind. Was not expecting that. Still kind of can't wrap my head around that. That's a really big deal.
And again, the reaction to it was a surprise to me because we're sitting watching it on TV and we're not the average gamer, you know. They got an audience full of jaded, hardcore gamers. A lot of them go to E3 every year. And the thing that made us laugh the most is at the end of that trailer, you just hear this random guy go, "No," which is exactly what both of us were thinking, like, "No." Nope.
Yeah.
And they get to the end of it, and this guy's like, "No," nope. And that's all there was. Like, I don't know how the guy on stage kept a straight face. Because it was so, like, I don't even know how the mics picked it up as well as it did.
Yeah.
Because it was almost like that guy was mic'd.
Yeah. It was amazing. It was ridiculously entertaining. And spoke directly to my soul. Like, yes, that's exactly how I feel. I'll tell you, I'll mention this. We'll talk more about the VR side, I think, here in a little bit when we get into more of the VR discussion, because some of the stuff that we've heard already about Resident Evil and some of the stuff that's come out since the show ended are interesting, I think, our discussion fodder. But just the straight demo is on PlayStation Network right now, and so I picked it up and played through it, and it's terrifying. Like, it's just...
Is it?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Do you still have it?
I do.
It?
That's something that we should definitely share play, because it's definitely worth seeing. But it's the same demo that you saw. It's just not in VR, but it's the same everything you saw from E3. And it is. It's fascinating, and it's Resident Evil, and it's different in that it's first-person Resident Evil, which is not something that Resident Evil has done. It's always been the kind of over-the-shoulder thing. But to make it VR compatible, like, obviously that makes a lot of sense, and it's eerie and it's gross and it's disturbing and it's everything you would think Resident Evil would be, and it does not feel like current Resident Evils, obviously, like Resident Evil 6.
Well, that's what I was about to say. That's the other surprise.
Yes.
Is that it's not like a Resident Evil 5 or 6 where you're just killing zombies. Like, the last two Resident Evil games have been closer to Dead Rising than they have been the original Resident Evil, which is fine. You know, if that sells games, whatever. But I'm not really interested in playing them.
And I'm not really sure it sold games because they're not doing that again. I think they know that the nostalgia factor is one of their best things right now. And so going back to that more Resident Evil 1 style, which it will remind you a lot of the early Resident Evils. And will not remind you of the ones with helicopters. Like the helicopter in a Resident Evil game seems weird. There might be a helicopter later on in this one, but not at this creepy house at the beginning. It's just a creepy house, and it's twisted and messed up and terrifying, and yeah.
Since we're talking about zombies, can I go off track and ask you a question? Have you watched Fear of the Walking Dead at all?
I haven't watched the new season. I watched the first season, but I haven't watched any of the second season.
I have 7 episodes on my DVR that I'm watching through.
Uh-huh.
You want to talk about something that is truly creepy? Like, I don't consider the original Walking Dead creepy anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I did the first season.
Right.
But to me, the Walking Dead and the comic book, I don't consider it creepy. Fear the Walking Dead to me is creepy.
Really?
Because these people that are in Fear of the Walking Dead really have no clue what's going on.
Sure.
Like, they really have no clue what's happening. And they're, like, I watched an episode last night, and I'm, like, screaming at the TV because this kid's walking around on an island, and he finds a down plane, you know, like, there's a plane crash.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, don't go in there. You have no weapons. Don't go in there. And he like wanders in there, and there's a guy in the plane still alive, and he's like, please help me. And the kid pulls him out of the seat where he is, and it turns out that a piece of metal has gone through his back. So this dude's about to die, right? And this kid's, like, freaking out. And it's just a really, like, it's very suspenseful.
Yeah.
And I have one friend that watched a couple episodes and couldn't get into it. But I really consider it creepy. The episode that I watched last night actually had a warning on it for violence, because in that episode they had a kid turn, like a little girl turn, and take out her mother.
Nice.
Which that was like oh, you know, like I didn't need to see that.
Right.
And I'm, you know, 30. How old am I?
I don't even know.
37.
Ancient.
37. Years old, it totally got me. So yeah, the suspensefulness and the creepiness actually adds a lot for me. That's what got me into Resident Evil to start with.
Sure.
And that's why I haven't played the last two, because I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's true of a lot of people, and I think they're turning that around. So kudos to them. Like, you know.
Do not get rid of that demo until we share play it.
No, I mean, it's sitting on my system, so it's here. So.
Yeah, but your system is full.
That is true.
So
no, that's fair.
I'm telling you, don't get rid of that demo until we play it.
Well, let me know when you have some availability. We'll get through it. But, yeah, it's cool. It's cool. It's worth seeing for sure. And it's super creepy, and nope, still not going to play it in VR. Like, after playing the demo, I'm like, yeah, even less of a chance I want to play this in VR. So.
I'm going to try. I got to try.
Yeah. Yeah. I might play through the very beginning, assuming that this demo is the very beginning of the game, which it seems like it would make sense being the very beginning of the game, that I already know what's going to happen. You know, like, I might play through it a second time in VR when I could be... I don't know. I say that. I played through Resident Evil 2 a couple times, and those freaking dogs freaked me out every single time. Like, I knew they were coming. I'm watching. I'm like, oh, crap, here come the dogs. Oh, crap, here come the dogs. Ah! You know, like...
See, that's what I want.
Right.
I'm gonna attach a mic to my PlayStation 4 just so we can talk to each other. Just so I can hear you go, oh,
yeah. You can see me falling down. And So anyway, it looks really cool. Kudos to them for doing that. Hopefully it translates well, which is something we'll talk about more here in just a second. But before we do that, any other big surprises from your end?
I have one that is not a positive.
Sure. No, that's great.
But we have to talk about it. We talk about how bad Nintendo was, but I have to mention that Square was awful. Like, I don't know what Square did, but they were awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that was that they were even doing, but it was horrible.
Right. This is the thing, is we thought we were getting a Square press conference, and if we would have known we weren't getting a Square press conference, we would have just not tuned into the stupid thing and never known that it existed. But I don't understand why, even if you knew that it was going to be a live stream, like laid back, like not, you know, like game after game after game thing, that unless you are the nerdiest Final Fantasy fan, which we're pretty nerdy Final Fantasy fans, granted classic Final Fantasy at this point more than current Final Fantasy. But I don't know, like, other than like four people on the planet, who would have been interested in the half an hour or whatever they talked about the stupid cover design?
No, it was more than half an hour.
For the
they did half an hour on Final Fantasy box art.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They did half an hour showing you how they came up with the cover design for the game, which I don't care. Like I don't care. I couldn't tell you the cover design for just about any game that's in my house right now. You know, like I don't care what cover design looks like, hardly at all. Like, really? Like, no. Like, I'll go, that looks cool. And that's it. That's all I care about it. And so I understand that somebody spends a lot of time doing that, and I appreciate the fact that somebody spends a lot of time doing that. But I don't need you to tell me in a lot of time how you spend a lot of time doing that, you know? Like, I can appreciate that somebody's put work into it. I care about the game. And then they showed us, you know, like the movie. There's a Final Fantasy 15 movie, and then there's this Final Fantasy 15 side scroller thing. And I'm just like, man, their game must really suck if they have to put all this other stuff out with it to try to get people excited.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that at all.
Yeah, no.
And they're a big company. They're a company that we love.
Yeah.
And to see that, like, we wasted probably 30, 45 minutes before we figured out what was going on.
Hoping that they were going to do something cool, and they never did. They never did anything cool. And so, yeah, that I agree was a massive disappointment. And Nintendo, too, it's not a surprise. I don't think we can call it a surprise at this point that Nintendo was a disappointment. But Nintendo was still a disappointment. It other than an amazing looking game, which obviously I'm pumped about. I know you're pumped about. Like, Zelda looks phenomenal. That's all they brought. You know, Pokemon, and I understand for people Pokemon's a big deal, but for us Pokemon's not that thing. And so we still don't know what's going on with their hardware. We don't know what, like, Nintendo's strategy looks like going past anything. We don't have new Mario, though Miyamoto apparently hinted towards new Mario that's going to break all the conventions of Mario. And so it appears that that's going to be a theme for Nintendo going forward, is that they're going to reboot franchises by completely changing them, which for Zelda looks good. I hope that whatever they do with Mario looks good, too. I'm a little more skeptical on changing the Mario formula than I am the Zelda formula.
Well, let me tell you something about Miyamoto. The thing that scares me about Miyamoto, I'm glad that he said that. I hadn't seen that. I'm glad that he said that, but the reason I'm kind of scared about that is he's not doing anything with the new Zelda. It's some other guy that is putting the new Zelda together.
Yeah.
And so if Miyamoto is working on the Mario, I'm like, okay, cool, all in. But that's the other thing with the new Zelda, is it ain't Miyamoto. It's some other guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could theoretically be a not great game.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's going to be that, but it could happen.
Yeah. And to be fair, I don't think Miyamoto's been intimately involved in Zelda for a while, probably.
Right.
But he still is kind of the face of that company. He's a fun guy, and we didn't really see anything from him at E3, which is a little bit of a disappointment. Really, the only person we saw, like, big name from Nintendo for any time at all was Reggie at the beginning of that treehouse, and it was for just a few minutes. And they may have popped back in sometime during that treehouse thing, but instead of a couple of people that I have no idea who they are talking about Zelda, how great would it have been to have Reggie and Miyamoto standing there or sitting there playing through and talking about Zelda? You know, like, how cool would it have been for Nintendo to bring out their big guns, to show off people that, like, are rock stars and celebrities in this industry? And I don't know. Like, maybe we're a little bit shallow gamers that we kind of get off over that. But I like that. Like, I like Miyamoto. I find the dude fascinating and infectious. And like, anything he comes out and tells me I'm going to like, at least in that moment, I believe him. Even if, like, 20 minutes later, I feel like, oh, yeah, that doesn't actually look that good. But, man, Miyamoto really sold me on it there for a bit.
Well, that's... Remember what Wind Waker... No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was. It was Wind Waker. He came out and tried to sell it, and we're like, that's kind of weird looking,
yeah.
But it's Miyamoto, you know.
Yeah.
That's it's what he wanted to do, and he looked like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
When he was demoing, like, his eyes were shiny, he had this huge smile on his face, and I remember looking at that going, wait, what?
Yeah.
So that makes a difference.
Yeah.
When you got a guy that has that cachet, and that's the thing. There's nobody else really at the conference that has that cachet, unless it's a Kojima or somebody that we've known and been around for years. A lot of those guys that are running the conferences now, I'm like, wait, who's this guy?
Right.
And I hate to say that, but there's not a lot of personalities out there right now. I mean, Microsoft has Peter Moore, and he's probably the biggest personality out there.
I mean, EA has Peter Moore now.
Well, I mean,
Microsoft has Phil Spencer.
I'm actually, but you know, Peter did the London part of the Microsoft.
He did the deal. London part of the EA deal.
Well, yeah, I'm getting confused.
Yeah. Which is understandable, right? Because Peter Moore used to do Microsoft stuff, and so it's, yeah. But he's one of those people,
right,
that you
I'm totally confused.
He's one of those people that you see on stage and go, oh yeah, Peter Moore, I know that guy.
Right.
And there's a lot of times that now I see these people on stage, I go, who is it? Like the Sean dude that has done Sony for the past couple of years. I know he's not
right.
New, but it's still,
and
it's like,
he's really good, but I'm like, wait a minute, who's this guy?
Right. Like, it's just not, like, Sony bringing out Kojima was brilliant, not just because the game looks interesting, even though we have no clue what it is, but because Kojima's a rock star. You know, like, he's maybe the best definition of, like, a rock star in the gaming industry, of his temperament and being fairly eccentric and everything else. But that was brilliant. Like, that makes you believe in whatever they're showing off when they have a guy that comes out like that has that cachet. If Nintendo would have brought Miyamoto out to show off Zelda or to show off Pokemon or really anything else, I don't even care. Like, whatever Miyamoto shows me, I'm going to be interested in at least for a little bit. I feel like they, like we said before when we talked about the Nintendo press conference, is that they just don't feel like this is something that's worth their time anymore. You know, like, they feel almost contempt for the whole E3 thing, and they're going to do it a different way. And I just don't think, for the most part, general gamers have followed them anywhere else where they're doing this stuff. Like, they've got their hardcore fan base that's going to show up to those things. But if you want to bring in more people, right now you ask the average millennial, like, what gaming console do they own or do they want to own? They're only going to answer with a PlayStation or an Xbox. You know, like, Nintendo's not even going to be in the conversation. And you ask them, oh yeah, what about the Wii U? And they'll be like, the Wii what? You know, like, it's not even on people's radar right now. And I think Nintendo, I feel like maybe Nintendo has this attitude that because the Wii was very accessible to a different generation and to a different kind of audience base, that their audience is no longer us, you know, like the kind of core adult gamer that's been around for a long time, that we've been doing this forever, you know, that we've grown up on games, and they know we're going to be here for something like Zelda, and that's going to get us excited. But when they're trying to figure out what they're doing with their company, it feels like they don't really have us in mind. They have that Wii demographic in mind. And it's like, we were part of that demographic too. Like, we like the Wii too. Like, even though it may not have been for us, like,
right,
we played the Wii. We had Wii. There's good games on the Wii. Like, it's a ridiculous name, but otherwise it was a good time, you know. And it's just like, make a little bit more concession to us and what we kind of get fired up about. And like, Nintendo could have walked away from E3 this year a huge winner with that Zelda game. Like, they didn't have to show hardly anything else. But that, in a press conference in Miyamoto, and some real intentional, like, hey, we're happy to be here, I think what was already, by a lot of people's, game of the show, mine included, would have turned into Nintendo's back. Nintendo's going to be a big, big deal going forward. And right now, it's right. Nintendo has Zelda, and it looks awesome, but we still don't know what they're doing.
Right. And all I can figure out is, again, they're going in a completely different direction, and E3 doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, think about it. If they go mobile the way they're talking about going mobile, E3 is not going to matter.
I disagree. Like, I think their attitude is that E3 doesn't matter, but I think they need to sell us, and for us, E3 matters. And so they could come and say, hey, this is what we're doing. It's going to be great, you know, and here's specifically what's appealing to you. Not that you're going to get into every component of this thing, whatever this thing is, but hey, look, this thing has Zelda, and this is why Zelda is going to be awesome on this thing, you know, like, okay, you know, like, okay, I may not believe everything you're doing with the NX, but I love Zelda, and if Zelda looks that pretty on it and it's fun to play on it, sign me up. You know, like, that's where I'm going to be. They didn't do that, you know. Like, if it's, for instance, I am totally making stuff up here. This isn't even me speculating about what I think will be the case with the NX. But just to throw something out there, say that the NX is a completely touchscreen-based controller that doesn't have physical buttons on it. Again, I'm just making stuff up. No reason to think that that's actually true. But if it was something like that, I wouldn't want to play Zelda on it. I would rather play Zelda on the Wii U. You know, there's lots of reasons why the NX may not be the console that I want to play Zelda on, and that I'd rather go find a used Wii U for fairly cheap and pick Zelda up on that, you know.
Right.
That side of it is where it feels like they just have this, again, contempt may be too strong of a word, but that's kind of what I'm feeling towards gamers like you and I, people who care a lot about our games, our consoles, our software that do this every day, and not, you know,
Look, I'm gonna go a step farther, and I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, because I'm not. I have felt that contempt for the last 10 years from the entire industry, because I don't have a controller that I can use. Now, it's different because I'm disabled, and that is, you know, you've been with me. I've been looking for the last 10 years to try and find something that works, and it's just not out there. I think it's because they believe that there's not a market out there. But when you have a charity like Able Gamers or something like that, you know, they have those game labs, and the fact that Able Gamers has to do those game labs to tell people what's out there just seems absolutely nutty to me. Because I would think if I were a manufacturer, I would be doing something about that and that market, because the market's huge. And the reason that I bring this up is that Nintendo may not be aware of what their market is yet. Like, they may not be coming to E3 because they are trying to figure out where their new direction is and what the market's going to be. And if you don't know, you can't really step out there and say, hey, this is what we've got.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that, hear me out. I think that's a complete cop-out. Just like I think it's a complete cop-out for controller manufacturers not to be doing something for the disabled market. But it may be some of the same stuff. Does that make sense? Or do I sound like I'm way out in left field?
I don't think it's a completely unfair analogy. I think there's possibly something to that, maybe a lot to that, but at least a little bit of that, that they're still just trying to figure out, like, what the crap are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally fair. So we'll see. I imagine within the next few months, we're going to have a big show talking about the NX and Nintendo's big launch of it and all the announcements and everything else, because that has to be coming soon. And so it's probably not going to wait till next year's E3. We'll be talking about it. It's just when and how and what does Nintendo do to announce that and everything else. And so, yeah. Moving on, from any other big disappointments or excitements you want to mention before we move on from that?
No, if I had to say one thing, is that if you weren't paying attention to E3 and you don't know what happened, just go look for software.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest deal. We said it like 3 years in a row. We had a couple years in there where there was no software, and we said we need software. And every year since then, we've been totally inundated by the fact that there's just a ton of software. And it gets better and better every year. And I don't know about you, but I'm constantly surprised by the level of wow that there is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the theme of this year's E3 was, we have really good games, and we're going to enjoy showing you really good games, and I'm 100% for that. Like, I dug it. I thought it was a blast, and so, yeah, you're absolutely right. Software was king this year, and that's how E3 should be. So, that being said, let's talk about the one kind of major hardware aspect of E3 this year, and that was VR, more so than the Project Scorpio or anything else, the NX or anything else that we thought we might be seeing a lot of. We saw a little to none of those things, respectively. But VR we saw a lot of. Obviously, PlayStation came out hard with PlayStation VR, but we also saw several titles, both on Oculus and Vive, semi-exclusive platform kind of things, or the multi-platform games that are also going to show up on those. The thing that I've heard the most about, and I think is something that is merits a discussion, is the people who played Resident Evil and got sick, right? And that was a big story that a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people who put on a VR headset with Resident Evil 7 walked away from it nauseous. I read a story with one guy that was like, I literally went straight from the demo to the bathroom and stood over a toilet for like 5 minutes. And then I came back and found my buddy who had to quit early because he thought he was going to puke on the show floor. Like, that people, like, not like, oh, I feel a little queasy, but like legit, like, I'm going to blow chunks all over the place. And that it seems like that theme happened to multiple people. Again, not everybody, but a lot of people, for possibly one of two reasons, and both of these I think are worth talking about as it concerns VR and the potential success of VR. The first reason is that Resident Evil 7 on PlayStation VR was running at 60 frames per second, and Oculus and HTC Vive both have a requirement that the minimum frame rate of games has to be 90 frames per second, because that's the level that they found that you're safe from that kind of motion sickness that can happen at lower frame rates. And so that may be one issue that the PlayStation VR possibly will be much more susceptible to than Oculus or HTC, or ultimately what I would imagine will be Oculus Rift on the Xbox One with Project Scorpio and everything else in the future. I think that's the direction that whole thing's probably going. So before we move on to the second potential nauseating issue, how worried are you over that aspect, about the potential of PSVR just being difficult to play because it's not as high performance?
Well, look, we're gonna get a little gross here for a second, and please forgive me, but there is a point. I don't even know if Tommy knows this about me, but I have a pretty wicked gag reflex. Like, I can't do tongue depressors. I have problems taking pills. I take them, but I have problems taking pills. That's not something that I like to do is get sick, but it happens on a fairly regular basis. I have some mornings that I get up and something sets it off and that's it, you know, so hearing that, like, I understand how it could add to the experience of playing a Resident Evil.
Sure.
Why you might do that on purpose. But you know what? And I think other people who have listened to the show have kind of talked about this. I don't want to put a headset on my head and play for several hours and have to worry about, am I going to feel sick when this is over? Because as a handicapped guy who doesn't necessarily feel good all the time anyway, I don't need anything else, especially when I'm trying to escape into something so that I don't have to think about all of my stuff that I have going on. That to me is a big deal. And I understand, and we talked about the fact that the price point for the PlayStation VR is $400, and you have the console right now that can run it. And for that kind of entry point, you're going to make some sacrifices. But if I buy a PlayStation VR and put it on my head and it makes me sick, I'm not going to use it a lot. I don't know about you. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm right there with you. I am prone to motion sickness. I can drive a car all day, and it won't ever bother me. But stick me in the passenger seat of a car, and about 10 minutes later, I never throw up. Like, I'm not a person who throws up. I've thrown up maybe 3 times in the last 10 years or something. Like, I just don't throw up very often. But I will be like miserable ball on the floor, you know, like just feeling completely sick if I'm especially like riding in the backseat of a car over a long period of time or something like that. Other things don't bother me as much, like flying doesn't bother me as much, and so I'm kind of hit or miss on it. And I haven't spent long enough in VR to know whether or not it's going to affect me in that way. And the only thing I've done in VR was a very controlled kind of experiment, you know. And so
on an Oculus, which has the
right, which is going to be higher frame rates and everything anyway, and so. Yeah, it's. I hope that that's not an issue. I worry about that with the PlayStation VR, and I'm curious to if the because it's where is the weakest link? Is it with the headset or is it with the console? And right now, it feels like it's maybe more the console, but the headset's cheap and the headset is independent of the console, and so the headset itself isn't going to have the tech that an Oculus or an HTC Vive has. And so the question is, does PlayStation Neo fix some of this? When Resident Evil comes out in January, say the PlayStation Neo does end up coming out this year and it comes out in November for holiday season, is the experience of playing Resident Evil 7 on a PlayStation Neo as opposed to a standard PlayStation 4 in VR a significantly better experience? Are you less likely to feel that nausea or whatever else? If that's the case, it makes a good argument for why you need to go pick up a PlayStation Neo. You know, like if you can do VR on the PlayStation 4, but you really are going to get better performance on the Neo, it's designed a little bit more for that. Okay, like I can hear why that makes a good argument. I won't even be mad at Sony over it because they launched the PlayStation 4 not necessarily thinking that it was going to be a VR platform, or at least not thinking that it was going to need to be a VR platform at this level. And so it makes a lot of sense that it's just finding the money to upgrade.
And I'm going to say something that is probably going to surprise you a little bit. when I saw that story that said Neo was coming out this year, I sat and thought to myself, would I buy one? And my answer was, because of what we saw with PlayStation VR, my answer was, yes, I'm going to buy one. I'll take my Neo up to the office, plug it into the bandwidth, and have it up there at the office with the headset for when we're share playing or whatever, and I'll keep my standard PlayStation 4 at the house.
Yeah.
And I had told you, we had talked about earlier in the week, that we are absolutely not buying an Xbox One until the Scorpio comes out. The difference with the PlayStation is, I guess that they have banked a lot of goodwill with me thus far. That press conference and everything that they got going on, if they bring out the PlayStation VR and say, okay, it works on the PlayStation 4, but it works better on the Neo, I'm going to go pick up a Neo. I'm probably not going to blink.
Yeah.
Seriously. And I realize I say some crazy things, like I'm going to put two GTX 1080s in a desktop, and you're like, that's crazy, and I'm not going to do that because my wife will shoot me. But even I realize that, you know, owning a PlayStation 4 and going and buying a Neo specifically for VR is probably a little nutty. But I'm thinking to myself this week, after what we saw, I'm probably going to do it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I wouldn't disagree. I don't know that I'll run out and pick it up day one. It depends on when day one is, obviously. But yeah, if they could make a compelling reason that VR is going to be better on it, and that's, I think, going to be one of the major selling points of it, yeah, I could see it. So that's...
You gotta pick it up fairly quickly, because if it's remotely good and we're gonna share play with it, I'm not waiting till summer.
Right.
Like,
that's fair.
Come on, man, we gotta pick it up.
Yeah, it's completely fair. So the other thing about playing Resident Evil 7 in VR that apparently was nausea inducing, that doesn't have to do with the hardware, it has to do with the control mechanism. And this is something that I think that you might just have to get used to on VR. And if you can't get used to it, I worry about a lot of game experiences in VR. And so the idea here, we talked about like the Fallout demo in VR and the hands-on impressions that they were talking about, using the controllers to like warp around. Instead of walking, you like warp around. You like point and click, and I want to go over there. And then you like magically transport to this new spot. And that the at least from our perspective, it was like, hey, give me a DualShock or give me an Xbox One controller and just let me navigate like usual, or even a mouse and keyboard, and let me use, you know, left stick to walk back, forth, strafe, left, right, and then right stick to, you know, control my direction, essentially. Or WASD to walk forward, backward, left, right, and then the mouse to control direction. And that... the Resident Evil 7 demo works that way, that you put on the PlayStation VR headset and then you grab a DualShock controller, and so you have standard first-person control that left stick is forward, backward, left, right, right stick is look. And so you are, especially for people like us who've been playing games for many, many years, you are navigating the environment both using the stick to... look, essentially, to control your direction, while also looking around in VR and moving your head, which is now spatially aware in this thing, and that the juxtaposition between using the right stick as a look stick and also having the headset on where you can look around is not natural, at least not the way we're used to playing games. And that's a part of...
Can you not do one or the other? Because, I mean, to me, it seems like overkill. Like, either you have the headset on and you're looking around because you have the headset on, or you use the right stick as the way to look around. I don't see using both. That doesn't make sense to me.
See, I don't think it makes sense to not have both in play, because either in the second scenario, then like you don't move your head. You know, like now the VR headset, part of the immersion is looking around, and you take that away from it. If you move your head, you don't see anything different. And I think that that's going to be really potentially confusing. But on the other side, if you just use your head to look, if you use your head for primarily navigation, it's hard to turn around. You know, like if you're sitting on a chair,
right?
Like if somebody comes up behind you, you just die.
You can't do the Beetlejuice.
Exactly.
Thing,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, unless you could physically turn all the way around without getting yourself completely twisted up in the cable, and that's another thing. Remember, these things aren't wireless. So if you go 360 degrees, you've just wrapped the cable around your neck once or wherever, you know, and then you fall down and you choke to death. There's these little things about it that are tricky. And so I think it might be that there's going to be a learning curve to it, and that you have to get used to a kind of new way of controlling it, especially first-person experience game shooters or adventure games or whatever it is, that you're going to have to figure out how to use the right stick in a different way, or how to move your head not in necessarily a completely natural way to avoid maybe some of that nauseousness. Or that you just need to, like, stock up on Pepto and just have some sitting next to your PS4 and just pop those while you're playing. Like, I don't know what the answer is there. I still want to play games like that. Like, in my head, that's still the most logical and most fun way to play a VR game, is with a controller in hand, that I can do everything like I normally do, but now I can look around in this VR environment. And that may be a trickier thing than I've been thinking it is. So that's the other potential nauseous inducing component of VR that I'm a little bit worried about.
Well, look, I feel like, and I don't know about the nausea, but I feel like no matter how you go about this stuff, there's going to be a learning curve, right?
Absolutely.
And there's going to be people like me, for example, going back to the disability problem. I downloaded it, and I'm going to try and talk about this without getting into bonus content, but there was a game on PlayStation Plus that we played this weekend a lot, and it was addicting, and I said to myself, and I told you when you left, I said, I'm going to download that, and I did. And I said to myself when you left, this is a game that I want to play bad enough that I'm going to figure out how to use the controller. And maybe I don't have the lack of frustration that it takes as a disabled person to learn how to use a standard controller with limited motor skills, because I know there are guys out there that do. You see competitive gamers all the time. You know, I remember this one guy that bites the controller, and he can put you on your butt in Street Fighter. Like, so I'm thinking I must have some sort of mental deficiency, because I'm having trouble trying to figure out how to use a standard controller, but at least right now, I can't do it. As you talked about wanting to spend the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 days playing games, that's what I've been doing the last 2 or 3 or 4 days, and I'm not much farther along on the figuring it out thing than I was when I started, and it's extremely frustrating. And so on some of this stuff, I'm worried on the VR side that there are going to be a fair amount of people out there that just can't do it. And whether it's the motion sickness or some other reason, I'm worried that there's a fair amount of people out there that just can't do it. And if that's the case, that's not good for anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good at this point that disabled people have been locked out of video games, but there are enough quote-unquote able-bodied people that nobody cares. If there's a ton of people that can't use VR, that's really bad.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's tricky because there's not really a way to know that. You know, like, until you actually spend some time with it, I don't know that it's going to be obvious whether or not VR is something that works well with you or not. And that's a little scary, you know? Like, that's a lot of money to spend on something that you may not enjoy, you know? It's
right.
Like, there's the potential to drop a lot of cash on something that that you end up not enjoying, and that would suck, you know? Like, nobody wins in that situation. So, yeah, hopefully there's going to be more opportunities to get hands-on. And I'll mention this. I think that the mall close to my house has HTC Vive demos.
Oh, wow.
Sorry about that. And so I'm going to go obviously check that out soon and see if I can try an HTC Vive. Having tried Oculus, just kind of compare them. And especially with the kind of room awareness part of it, I'm really excited about that. But I know for a fact that GameStop, several in the area, starting this week, will have PlayStation VR setups. And so by the time we do another show, I'm hoping I will already have had experience with PlayStation VR and potentially Vive. But right now, PlayStation VR is the one I really, really want to get my hands on because that's the one that seems most realistic in my near future. And so, yeah.
Okay, can I say one thing on this whole deal? Folks, we have a Patreon page, and the part of the reason that we have a Patreon page is to come up with money to buy gear for this show so that we can give you guys extra content. At this point, I'm willing to have you guys invent the tiers on Patreon that you will pay for. Right now, we have like 4. And I would like to add more based on what you guys will pay for. Hang with me, sir. I'm coming around to my point. But you telling me that PlayStation 4 is going to be available at PlayStation VR is going to be available at a GameStop in your area, and that there's a mall in your area that does HTC Vive. I need to be in the car right now,
right.
And we need to be exploring this. And if you guys can come up with enough money on the Patreon, I'll go spend a week in Dallas. But my point being is that this VR experience thing is going to be different for me than it is for you.
Sure.
Like we got pictures in the mail from our buddy Duff of his HTC Vive that he bought,
right,
that just came. And I'm looking at the pictures at the controllers trying to figure out, is there any way anywhere that I could hold those? And I don't know because I don't physically have them in my hand. I don't know. I think you and I could literally spend a week, maybe two, just going around and playing with this stuff. And I think for me, that's what I'm going to have to do. You talk about somebody buying something and not knowing whether they're actually going to enjoy it or not. That's what I'm going to have to do with PlayStation VR because I'm not going to know.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to have a clue unless we come up with enough money for me to get in a car and come to you or you know, Fanboy Nation sets up some VR interviews that I can actually talk to people, because as to whether a person in a wheelchair is going to enjoy a VR experience, I don't have a single clue. I don't know. And to me, that's a big deal. Like, your question was phrased exactly right. You're spending a lot of money on something that you're not even sure you're going to enjoy. So if we had, again, if we had the money for me to do it, to get in the car and drive down there and spend a week just going through all of these things, and the reason why it would be a big deal for us is, you know, the people that are running those demos are reps for these companies. And I would like to walk into a situation like that and just ask a bunch of questions and see if they had the answers. So, again, we have the Patreon page. If we don't have something that you want to pay for, give us some ideas on some stuff that you might, some tiers that you might be willing to pay for. Because bringing up VR the way that we are, that's what we're doing the Patreon for. We're not trying to get rich. We're trying to buy gear to do this show the right way. And I think the way that you're going about it, going from place to place and trying this stuff out, it's what you have to do.
Yeah.
I think if I were a person buying a VR experience, whether it's HTC or Oculus or PlayStation VR, I think I'd be terrified to just buy it out of the box and not know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And again, the only way you get that experience is by slapping the thing on your head and seeing what happens. And so what you gotta do. Like that's it. And so we're gonna try it, and we're gonna hopefully, yeah, have some impressions for you. And I'd love, like, next time you're anywhere, like traveling anywhere close to here, like, hopefully we can find a way to hook up and do that together too, because you're absolutely right. That's a big part of this whole thing. So, yeah, all that being said, go by GamingUncensored.com and check out the Patreon, and we'd love to have your support. And thanks again to Cabbage and Narc and Jose and Duff, who have all contributed already, and we love you guys. And that being said, that seems like a good transition into our production competition, does it not?
Yes,
we got some great entries. We've got to give big ups to our boy Brigham, who did a video piece for us, and so we'll put that up on the website. It won't be very interesting on the podcast, so we're not going to play it here. But go by GamingUncensored.com to see that, and it's not going to be in the top three here that we're about to talk about, but we'll still give you a game. So we'll talk about those details here in a little bit. So we'll send you some games to pick from Brigham here in a bit. But the top three, the people who submitted that made it to the top three were Duff, who we were just talking about, Cabbage, who we were just talking about, both of which who've contributed over at the Patreon, which we appreciate. And then our boy Spiderwise, who's been around forever, like Cabbage has been around forever. Duff is a newer listener, but still has been around at a while at this point. And so guys have been involved with the show, and we love, and Cabbage has made all kinds of production for us in the past, including what we use as the typical outro when we're not using E3 as a piece of Cabbage production. And so many, many, many segments. You'll hear a best of Cabbage coming up soon on the show. And so, yeah. All that being said, we've listened to the entries. We've come up with our top three. And so all three of you guys are going to get a game from us. And so it's just a matter of who gets to pick first, and that's whoever we deem the winner, which you'll find out here in just a second. But ultimately, everybody's going to get a game, and I'm working on putting that whole list of games together so you can join, so you can see those and pick whichever one you want. And so third place was our boy Duff from Hawaii, and we'll play all of these. And so Duff being from Hawaii is a good bit of background for why this piece of production is cool, and we love the fact that we have a listener who lives in paradise while we don't.
Hey, dude, is there a place to stay if we ever get there? Yeah. Like, if the Patreon blows up and there's, you know, and we make a couple $1,000s a month every month, can we come hang out?
Absolutely, we're gonna crash your pad, man. Like, we'll hang out in Hawaii as long as you'll let us. No problem with that. So, without further ado, here is Duff's entry.
Thank you. Aloha, Jamie and Tommy. Even in Hawaii, the land of rainbows, Gaming Uncensored is the flagship gaming podcast of FanboyNation.com.
So apparently we're the flagship gaming podcast of Fanboy Nation, even in Hawaii, which seems like a good thing.
And I didn't know that Hawaii was the, what did he call it, the something the of rainbow.
Yeah, the land of rainbows.
Yeah, I did not realize that. I thought it was the land of women in grass. Right.
All of which sounds pretty great.
Yeah, you're married, so you be careful there.
Right, we'll do the rainbows.
Yeah. I can say whatever I want because I'm not.
That's fair.
But yeah, I'm just, every time he mentions Hawaii, I just want to hit the guy.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Like, how can you live in Hawaii?
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like the life, doesn't it? Like, it seems like it would be hard for life to suck living. I'm sure it does for people who live in Hawaii, that life sucks. But I just have a hard time imagining it, so.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Kudos.
Like you were talking about the fact of how, when you were here, you were talking about how, the fact that you would love to live in the middle of nowhere in the mountains as long as you had a really fast internet connection.
Yes.
If we lived in Hawaii, I think I could do without the really fast internet connection. Like, that's the one place on the planet that I think I'd be like, I'm in Hawaii. I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't need the internet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I maybe agree. I still think after a little bit, I would want my fast internet back. But the idea of having both, like, beach and mountains right there sounds pretty awesome. So,
yeah.
We will be, by the way, playing all three of these pieces of production and shows. It's not like whoever we deem the winner is the only one we're going to play. You'll hear all these a lot more. And so, Duff, that will go into regular rotation on the show, and you'll hear it many, many times. So that brings us to our second place finisher, which is our boy Spider Weiss, who we love. Like I said, has been listening to the show forever, and I enjoy this one thoroughly, because anybody that's ever used Siri before knows the kind of love-hate relationship you can have with Siri, and so it plays off of Siri, and it's fun. So here is Spider Weiss's entry.
Man, I'm bored. Siri, what's going on with video games right now?
Interesting question, Michael.
No, I want you to read to me what's going on in the world of video games. What's going on in the world of video games?
Let's see. Here's what I found on the web for what's going on.
No, Siri, I want to know what the latest video game news is. So read it to me. I'm busy playing video games right now.
I'm sorry.
What are you sorry about? Yes, Siri, you.
That's what I thought.
No, I do not want a web search. Siri, what I want is to be able to listen to what's going on in the world of gaming while I'm playing video games. My hands are busy, and I can't search or scroll through anything right now.
Interesting question, Michael.
I'll just search on Google. Let's see. What's this? FanboyNation.com? Let's check this out. Wow, they have four podcasts. Gaming Uncensored, which it looks like is the flagship podcast of FanboyNation.com. And then there's also Growing Up Geek, the Popcorn Podcast, and TuneIn Talk. Wow, they do more than just video games. I'm going to start listening right now. Hey Siri, why couldn't you have just told me about FanboyNation.com?
I don't know what you mean by... Why can you just tell me about FamilyNation.com? How about a web search for it?
No, Siri.
So there you go. Thank you, Spider, for that.
That's great.
I love it. It is amazing. And so, yeah, good time. And you'll hear that, of course, on the show more. And that brings us to our winner, which comes to us from our boy Cabbage. Like I said, Cabbage, been around forever. One of the earliest listeners to the show. And, I think we both were like, oh, man, we got to give it to Cabbage because we like his best. And it feels like such a homer move because Cabbage has been here forever.
It is. Like, he's been doing this for years, and I felt like such a punk.
Yep.
But you're like, you're like listening to it, and it's like really weird. It's like you don't even really know what's going on. But if you've been listening for as long as we've been doing this, that's Cabbage. Yes. That's what he does. Yes.
Which is great, and we love Cabbage, yeah. And it's funny, and it pokes fun at both of us in ways, and uses some stuff about the show. It's just, yeah, Cabbage has been here forever. He knows what we do and everything else, and so yeah. Here, without further ado, is the winner of the Gaming Uncensored 2016 Fanboy Nation Production Contest, Cabbage.
Didn't I tell you to keep watch at the gate?
Yeah, about that.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yeah, the Yeti got loose again.
How could you guys let this happen again? What is this, the third time this week?
I know, I'm sorry. It's really like chasing after those flying modem imps. You know, the kind with a beard and a vibrant Ethernet port.
Are we even talking about the same thing anymore?
I don't know. I don't know about anything.
These conversations usually end in existential crisis for both of us, so let's just stop right there.
Right. Seeing as we're both mythical creatures talking to each other about a caged Yeti who chases after anthropomorphic flying modems, does anything in our reality make sense?
No, it doesn't. But do you know what does make perfect sense?
What's that, boss?
FanboyNation.com.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. If you need anything from film news and reviews, TV, gaming, manga, anime, anything a nerdy young boy or girl could need.
I myself have spent a sad amount of time browsing the manga section.
You would, little Johnny. You would.
Wait, when did we establish that my name is Johnny?
When did we rightfully establish anything here, Susan?
Wait, what? Why am I now Susan? Can't I at least be a guy?
That high-pitched voice of yours doesn't sound too much like a guy to me.
Yeah, and you sound more like a grandma smokes six packs a day.
Who said that I wasn't?
Touché, my friend. Touché.
I ain't your friend, Aldrich. Now get back to work.
Aldrich? Make up your mind, you old senile hag.
I think that one had me an anthropomorphic flying modem. But the rest of it's pretty great too. What do you call it?
And I know there's going to be somebody that hears that and they have to rewind because they're like, what the crap? But that's so totally Cabbage.
It's wonderful. I love his sense of humor.
It's so totally Cabbage and it made me laugh. Yes. Like, it really did. So thanks for doing what you do, buddy. We wish you would do more of it.
Yes.
Because if you would send us some stuff on a regular basis, we'd play it. And we have so many games that we'd probably give you a game.
Yeah.
Another
game.
Yeah.
We're going to give you one.
Yeah.
But you get another one. Or as many as you want at this point, because I'm going through the list right now, and it's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know if you want to give our whole closet away.
Right.
But you get my point. The man knows what he's doing. Yep. It made me laugh talking about the caged Yeti and various other things.
Yeah.
The flying modem.
Anthropomorphic flying modem is my favorite line of the whole thing.
Yeah, that was vastly entertaining.
Yes. So kudos to you, my friend. And yeah. I know you're an adult and stuff now, which again, Cabbage was not an adult and stuff when he started listening to this show. And so it's weird, like having him grow up along with us. And he's going to be on the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable because he's the Patreon person at this point who has donated that amount. If anybody else wants to be on a Gaming Uncensored Roundtable with us, by all means, you can go by Patreon and do that as well. But it's going to be a lot of fun talking to Cabbage.
For those of you that don't know, okay, the way that's going to work right now, if nobody else donates to be a part of the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable, it's going to be me, Tommy, and Cabbage on a Skype call. It's going to be recorded, okay?
Which sounds kind of amazing.
I can't really tell you what that's going to sound like or what's going to happen. You may have to send your kids out of the house. You may have to send the old people out of the house. Because I have absolutely no idea what's going to come out of his mouth.
I do know that Cabbage is ridiculously more funny than we are. And that's exciting.
Yes. And we're funny.
I would like to think so, but not cabbage level funny.
I mean, I've talked to people and made them laugh on a regular basis before in front of very large crowds. I'm funny, but I'm not cabbage funny.
No, it's something we could all aspire to. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Right.
We love you, man. We're excited to give you a free game. And so,
do you think he approves of the fact that we still call him Cabbage?
I hope so. Like, he still labels stuff as Cabbage, and so I anticipate that he doesn't at least mind. If you want us to start calling you, like, your real name, which we know, but we're not going to say because you're Cabbage. And so if you would like us to stop calling you Cabbage. I just always think back to, like, early Cabbage production where he's like, "Hey, guys. It's Cabbage." And it's just the most wonderful thing. Like, every time, like 8 years ago when Cabbage was in this production, every time it would be immediately hilarious with, "Hey guys, it's Cabbage." Just wonderful.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't even if he asked us to use his real name, I don't know that I would.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it just doesn't make sense. Like, I gotta tell you something, and I don't even know if you know you're part of the group, but I do a lot of music work during the week on Facebook.
Sure.
Posting different things to music groups. And so I'm doing my job the other day, and this music group popped up that I didn't know anything about. But somehow, some way, I'm a member of it. So I look in there, and you're a member of it, and it turns out the entire Facebook group that revolves around music has been started by the Cabbage.
Nice.
So I don't know if you've been in there or seen, but it's called All the Music, and you're a member.
Nice.
And you should check it out because it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love music, and so that's
but
fair.
That's what he does. He does random stuff, and we're like, what?
Yeah. So all that being said, congratulations to ultimately all four of you guys who are getting games. It's just a matter of who gets to pick first at this point. And so, like I said, I'm going through and compiling the list right now of just putting all of these into one kind of master spreadsheet so we can keep up with them easy enough. The 35th game right now. 35 games I put into the spreadsheet so far, and I'm not done. And so let me, I'll mention a couple of these that are just great titles that be thinking about this. So, like, Psychonauts is one of them, old game, but phenomenal. Right. If you haven't ever played Psychonauts, there's an opportunity for that. Rocket League, which is like this huge thing right now. Everybody loves Rocket League. A bunch of Resident Evil stuff, Devil May Cry, Mad Max. Right now, I'm doing The Walking Dead and The Wolf Among Us. You and I both already have The Wolf Among Us. We know that's a phenomenal game. If you haven't had a chance to play The Wolf Among Us, choose it now. You know, like, this is a great, great title. And so we will say that we're not positive that all these keys work. And so if you get one that doesn't work, just let us know. We'll give you a different game. And so, this is, again, through the awesome generosity of our boy, Narc, who is also supporting us on Patreon, like we said. It's giving us all these extra keys that he has for stuff so we can hand them out, which is cool. We love you, dude, and thank you so much for providing this so we can give it away to other people. And
please keep providing
absolutely.
It because it's awesome.
Yeah, we will keep giving games away and finding out other ways to give games away, and it may be something that we do on Patreon or whatever. Like, we have tons and tons of games here. We might as well give them away. So, yeah.
Yeah. And like, I just love having the hookup.
Right.
I love having the ability to give away free games. And granted, we're not completely altruistic. We keep some of them.
That's absolutely right. if we see something we want, we're going to grab it.
Yeah. And which, by the way, I have to say something to one of our other guys that heard me talking about the Stick of Truth during E3 and saying that we only had one copy, we needed another copy. He sent me another copy of the Stick of Truth.
Awesome.
So there's one for both of us.
That makes me so happy.
If you want to steal, if you're putting that in the thing and you want to steal it now because I have a copy.
Yep, that one's not going in the thing. So
right.
Yeah, too bad, guys. I'm claiming that one.
Yeah.
But there, like I said, there's a whole bunch of other amazing ones. And so right now, it looks like we have a copy of This War of Mine to give away, and that's another one you and I obviously already have. That we love to pieces, and so if you haven't got a chance to play that.
Which, by the way, my Steam just updated. I think they just added stuff to this War of Mine. So
that's exciting.
It's a good time to be playing that one.
Yeah, that's a freaking awesome game. We've talked about it a ton, and so amazing. So all that being said, anything else we need to do to finish up our E3 coverage?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I am depressed and right? sad that it's over.
Yes.
And like I'm kind of like upset that we have to wait till like December to hang out in the same room and play games together. I don't know if I want to do that. Like, I actually had the discussion with Evie this week, like, I think I could get used to having you in the same area. Your wife would probably get sick of me because I'd be around all the time. But I think I could get used to that. So other than being depressed, I'm very glad that we got to do that. E3 was great. We hope you guys enjoyed the content. We hope we didn't suck too much. And I can't wait to do it again next year.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% on everything you just said and more. It was a blast. E3 was really, really good this year. I just want to play games all night now.
Yeah, which I've got a couple hours or like an hour where I can, and then Game 7 starts.
Right.
And I'm going to be paying attention to that. And you should be,
yeah,
too.
Oh, I will. I'm pretty pumped about that. That's all I wanted was it to go to Game 7. I don't care who wins. I really don't have a rooting interest. I like them both. I'm just happy it went to Game 7.
Well, look, here's the thing. And we have to do this. We haven't done this a couple shows, and then we'll wrap. But I don't really – I would like to see Golden State win because I've been watching Golden State for like 3 years now. And I like those guys. I enjoy them very much. But if LeBron wins and takes the title back to Cleveland, that's a huge historic deal. Yeah. Like, they haven't had anything in like 50 years.
Yeah.
And I would be okay with seeing that.
Yeah.
And the thing that's great about Game 7 is like, I want to pick the Warriors. I think the Warriors are going to win. But anybody that knows anything about sports knows Game 7 in any sport is a complete toss-up. Like, you don't know.
Yeah. I would pick the Warriors if I had to pick, but I don't have to pick, so I'm not picking anybody.
You are such a wuss, man.
Like, why do I have to pick? I don't have to pick.
You got it, because I asked the question.
I pick, I don't care. It's going to be fun.
Okay. I can't believe you just said that. All right.
But if I had to pick, I would pick the Warriors.
Yeah. Of course, then again, if LeBron scores 41 again,
yeah,
like that's,
all bets are off.
He's done that twice.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I won't be shocked either way.
No. And I won't be either for the first time in a long time.
And I'll be happy either way. That's the best kind of championship game. Is no matter what happens, I'm not going to, like, the Super Bowl this year was incredibly stressful for me because either I was going to be ecstatic or I was going to be, like, depressed. And this one is just like, I'm going to be happy either way. Like, oh, yay, LeBron got another one. Good for him. Oh, yay, Steph got another one. Good for the Warriors. I love that team. You know, like, I don't have a big rooting interest in stuff. That's fun. I like that.
Well, I have a big rooting interest. I got to church this morning. You'll get a kick out of this. And there's one specific guy at church. He's an older man who I love. And by older, I mean he's probably 70. And I told him months ago that he needed to watch the Warriors. Okay? And he started watching them, and he figured out they were great. And he kept watching them. And so he comes in this morning, and he says to me, he leans over, and I'm back at the soundboard, and he leans over and he says, "That thing is rigged." And I'm like, "Yeah, they wanted to get to game seven." And he's like, "Yeah, well, they did it because the Warriors got hosed twice." And I said, "Well, all they wanted to do was stretch it out and make people happy and make lots of money, and they've done that." But I thought that was really hilarious that my friend, who I told to watch the Warriors, comes in this morning and said, "Yeah, I think that was rigged."
That's a theme. A lot of people are saying that, saying that the league wants LeBron to win. And
well, and there's a lot of people saying the league wants Golden State
that
to
win. That is
true. Like the two examples that he gave were the foul on Draymond Green with LeBron, which I've watched that over and over, and I still don't really see anything worth a guy getting suspended over, other than the fact that he has a record for doing stuff now.
The Charles Barkley quote, you heard the Charles Barkley quote on that. I hope that if a man steps over you, you have a moral obligation to reach up and hit him in the balls. That of a million amazing Charles Barkley quotes is officially my favorite. Like, that I laughed so hard at that.
That's great. I had not heard that, but that's fantastic. And I agree. and then there were three fouls on Steph that just weren't there.
Yeah.
Okay. And Steph got mad and threw his mouthpiece. Right. And you can talk about sportsmanship or whatever, but I liked what Steve Kerr said. Look, that guy doesn't do that. If he goes off like that, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr ate 25 grand and called out a ref by name and said, "Look, this is a 2-time MVP. Like, I saw those fouls. They're bogus."
Yeah.
And I just, it's been a lot of fun, but man, it really does. It look kind of rigged to me, you know, like, and I hope this one is called straight up.
Yeah. If there was any reason to rig this, it's to get it to game seven, not to get anybody specific to win, because the league looks good no matter who wins this series. Like, it worked out to be the exact series that the league wanted at the beginning of the year. Like, they wanted the rematch and they got the rematch. And so, yeah, what you would rig it for is for game seven. So hopefully, if there was any of that, that this is the, like, okay, now let's let them battle it out and this winner take all. And I'm pumped about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I hope it's like game, whatever game that was, like game three or four, where they were just letting them bang.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoyed that. Like, people were watching it going, "Man, this is rough. This is like old school basketball." And Mark Jackson or somebody said, "Look, it's not that there's not a foul there. They're just not calling them." And that was fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a blast. I hope we get that.
Yeah. It'll be fun, I think, no matter what. And hopefully, the one thing that could suck if it's just a blowout, which it could be either way, because there's been blowouts either way in this series already. But if it's a blowout either way, that'll suck. But I hope it's close. I hope it's competitive. I hope Steph scores 40. I hope LeBron scores 40. And I hope it comes down to a last second shot by one of them to win it. And I don't care which one. That's just what I want to happen.
Well, all that being said, we got to wrap up because it starts in an hour and 15 minutes. And I need to be paying attention. So, thank you guys so much for listening, for doing everything that you do. Thanks to the guys that submitted production. If you would like to submit a segment to us and we need segments, you can do so by sending us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. E3 gave us tons to talk about, and so send us your reactions about Microsoft and Sony, or about VR or Duff. We want to hear about the HTC Vive now, so we're expecting a segment there. There's The segment material is
right. What I want him to do is put his butt on video wearing the headset. That's what I want. Just set the camera up and let it roll.
I saw a video earlier of some dude, I think, in like a mall trying one of the VR headsets. And like, you know, there's a screen where you can see what's going on. And it was like a roller coaster demo. And right. like his buddy is standing behind him. And right when the roller coaster like goes over the top of the hill, his buddy comes up behind him and like pushes him just a little bit, just to like startle him. And the dude like just falls over, like completely like can't catch his balance. It's completely disoriented. That's what's going to happen to people in VR all the time.
Yeah, and that's why I'll be glad to be sitting in a chair.
Yes, that is because a definite benefit for you.
Like I'm belted into a chair, so I'm not going anywhere. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. But all that being said, we got to get out of here. We are done. We hope you guys have had fun. We definitely have. We hope to have a show in very, very, very short order, maybe a week, maybe two, but not very long. So please stay tuned for that. Go by the Facebook page. Go by the Patreon. Go by the website. There's a ton of crap.
Yeah, go vote in the poll.
And Tommy keeps adding stuff.
Right.
So there's going to be more stuff. Like, I'm probably going to fire up the website, and there's going to be something else. So you definitely need to go by there. Check that out. For right now, I think that's all we've got. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and for one more E3, this is year number, 10?
Or 11.
11!
I think 11.
That's a lot! 11!
Ridiculous.
11 E3s! For one more E3, we are out!